This is Life Matters, and our next guest is Stephen Oliver. Stephen was a poet and a playwright before he became famous as an actor in the ABC's hit sketch show called Black Comedy. As a young man, Stephen wrote songs about becoming famous when he grew up, but when fame arrived, I'm not actually sure it was exactly what Stephen imagined. We'll talk to him about that. Stephen's talents have led to write works for the stage and the screen. His poetry is acclaimed. It's been published both locally and internationally. He's even appeared in one of the Marvel movies. And tomorrow night sees Stephen open at the Sydney Opera House with his brand new creation. It's a cabaret called Bigger and Blacker. And it's my great honour to say, Stephen Oliver, welcome to Life Matters.
Honour. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Stephen, if it's an honour, you've got to raise your standards.
No. We're trying to keep things pretty low so that when people like you come on, it's actually fantastic for us. Stephen, you're no stranger to the Opera House. You've been there a few times. What are some of the other reasons you've appeared on stage there?
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. The first time was for the Deadly Awards, where I was a hip-hop dancer and I did a tap dance solo. The second time was for the National Poetry Finals. The third time was to host a ballroom event that was happening there. And the fourth time was for a project that Maeve Marsden runs called Queer Stories, where I shared a story about my mother. So this time it'll be, my cabaret show.
Which is the first time you've brought this kind of art form to the stage. I mean, you practically live at the Opera House. So, you know, it's great you're changing
times. I call myself a black of all trades.
Now, well, what's really interesting about this show, along with many other parts of your output, but this show particularly, the cabaret, Bigger and Blacker, is that you're actually drawing on stories and songs and music that you've created from as far back as your childhood.
Yeah, well, I don't know. As far back as my child.
Well, teenage years,
19, maybe. Yeah, so the songs that are in the show were like songs that, I'd written. There were other songs for a musical I've been writing forever, or the songs like that I was writing for other people, you know, for stuff they were going through. But then there's also songs like after Black Comedy happened and stuff, and just stuff that I've gone through personally. But the interesting thing is that I found that some of the songs, because I've written them so long ago, I was writing them as either imagined, you know, kind of situations or experiences that other people had gone through. But since writing them, I've gone through them myself. So these songs have turned into lived experience.
And give me an example of what you mean by that?
Okay, well, say, for example, I mean, this song isn't in the show, unfortunately, but I did write a song, like, when I left Townsville to go to Perth, you know, I'd found, like, some people who I'd you know, loved and adored and, you know, grown up with all my life had suddenly were kind of saying things about me and that, you know, that I was trying to be something else or, you know, was that kind of stuff. And so I wrote a song called Mr. Popularity. But it went, I'm not warmed up, so please don't judge my singing.
I love the fact you want to sing us something. That'd be great.
I will try to sing you something in my unwarmed up state, but it goes, some people say I'm nothing, but I know I'm something more. They criticize and comment, but I just choose to ignore. For I know there'll be a day when they'll see my name in lights. And then they'll all come running when I am shining bright. As I go on to be as famous can be. See my face upon a billboard and cry out, that's me. No more emptiness for me. Once I'm a celebrity, Mr. Popularity, just to wait and see. Oh, well, thank you.
But there's so much in that.
Well, there is, but it's funny, and that's what I love about songwriting is that it's a snapshot of your life, and it shows you the way you were thinking or how you thought. Like, I thought celebrity would fix everything, and which is what a lot of people think, I found, you know, after becoming a celebrity, is everybody thinks my problems were kind of solved and stuff like that after Black Comedy had come out and that I was now famous. And it's fascinating for me to go back and to see that and to see that I even thought the same way about celebrity and what I thought it would do for me.
And when you wrote that Mr. Popularity, how old were you at that stage?
I was 19 then.
That was then. That was then. Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When you reflect on how you thought and felt about yourself as a young man writing that song and how you now feel, is there a great disparity in self-perception between those two ages?
Yes and no. Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of like it's interesting the way that I looked at, not just like looked at celebrity, but the kind of, it shows that I had a confidence in myself.
Hmm.
That I kind of, and you know, I carried that through all my life. Like I was never someone, well, you know, like, cause I have a lot of friends who made it in the industry as well. I made it, you know, well before I did. And I was never kind of someone who was kind of jealous and going, why aren't I making it? Or why not? You know what I mean? Like I never doubted myself in the sense that I never had the goods, but then at the same time, it's kind of, I think I suffer a bit from the imposter syndrome as well.
But isn't that what drives creative people forward, is that they have to prove to themselves and to the rest of the world that they are not a sham?
I think so. And I think that, I mean, it's like, will I ever truly be happy? That I kind of asked myself. And whereas I thought, you know, that celebrity would bring happiness, I thought that, you know, but in a lot of ways, I think celebrity brought emptiness, I think in a lot of ways. But, you know, also, but there's the flip side to that as well. Like celebrity has also given me so much happiness in the sense of interactions I've had with strangers on the street.
Yeah.
And people, you know, saying things to me like, oh, you make me feel proud, or you make me feel good about myself, or, you know, so there's been that beautiful, beautiful interaction as well that I've had with people. But I had a very hard time after the first season of doing the season at the Watt here, because, you know, it got rave reviews and I was getting standing ovations and sold out shows and all this kind of stuff. And it was beautiful that I was getting that for sharing my story, that people were responding to my story in that way. But then at the same time, it was kind of me going home to my one bedroom unit and not having anyone to share my day with. So, you know what I mean? Like it kind of highlighted other things that I didn't have in my life as well.
But did you find, because you're so multi-skilled, what did you say? You're a black of all trades.
A black of all trades, yes.
Yes. I mean, the fact that you can also speak about your truth in a range of ways. For example, your acclaimed poetry. I just watched one of your performances prior to us chatting, actually. And, you know, there is great depth and pathos and truth in the way you put words together. Does that actually help prop up those, you know, times of emptiness in your one bedroom flat, because you know you're putting out other forms of art that also speak truly to you and therefore fulfill you in a way that perhaps fame doesn't always do?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, that was the thing. Like with my poetry, I wanted to push that out there after Black Comedy happened, because I saw how I was becoming this idea to people, and that people were wanting me to be this one thing all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, when people kind of do that to you constantly, and it kind of makes you feel like that's the one thing you have to offer the world, or that's what people just want you, you know, it was kind of like, you know, the song Dance Monkey. It was very much that. Like, it was, yeah, do this for, like, I'd be at funerals, and people would be going, okay, make us laugh. And I'm kind of like, well, I'm grieving for my family member too. So, you know, I saw the way that was happening. So with my poetry, I wanted to push that out there to kind of go, well, look, I am an idiot. And yes, I do, you know, act stupid and stuff like that. But I also sit around and I think deeply about things and how I'm affected, you know, not just me, but also my people, you know, which is really what I'm writing the majority of my stuff about. It's like my people are going through all this kind of stuff. And you know, and even then, sometimes it can be, I've realized that people can take your words and turn them into what they want them to be, rather than what you're, you know, no matter how articulate you want to be, how much you want to be in depth by something, a lot of people, you know, won't listen to something to hear what you're saying. They will hear it to respond to it. And, you know, if there's one thing I've learned, like now a lot of people, you know, one of the first things I've noticed about racist behavior with people who don't think they're racist is that they will ask your opinion on something. And they're not asking your opinion because they want to hear what you think about it. They will ask you your opinion because they want to tell you what they think about it.
Yeah. So they can rail against your opinion.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not, you know, they're not really listening. Like, I remember writing a poem called Real, and it's all about identity in me growing up as an Aboriginal person, and people always saying to me, oh, you're not even a full blood and all that kind of crap, you know? And I'm like, yeah, well, I know that. You're not pointing out anything new, you idiot. But, you know, I didn't grow up as with anything about my great-grandfather who was Chinese. I didn't learn anything about Chinese heritage, you know, or my Indonesian great-grandfather. I didn't learn any of that. I've always grown up knowing my Aboriginal values and identity. That's what, you know, I've always been told. And even, like, it's like I would get called black all the time. Oh, you black. I never got called you Chinese. I never got called, you know, my great-great-grandmother who was English. I never got called, oh, you white. I always got called black. I've always been called black. Whether it was from, you know, my family who, you know, because we got told we were black, so Aboriginal people started calling each other black. That's why we refer to each other as black, because we were, you know, like with the N-word, that's what happened with African Americans. Because they were constantly called the N-word all the time, they started calling each other the N-word. And so that's what happens with, you know, with here, with us saying black, because we were told we were black all the time. We started calling each other black. And so then people, you know, you refer to yourself as black and people go, oh, you're not even a full blood. And it's like, well, hold up, you're calling me black all the time. And then it's now, and it's always other people deciding your identity for you. So I wrote a poem in response to that. And, you know, it's a 4-minute poem. And I go into great detail about it. Because I always try to put the shoe on the other foot to show other people. And, you know, so people go, oh, yeah, I get it now. Okay. And, but even sometimes when you can spend that much time, like, people will still find a way. Like, and I remember one of the comments where people going, oh, his last name's Oliver. And I'll say, he's probably, you know, European, descent, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, Oliver was just given to my great-great-grandfather when he was stolen from the mission. When he was stolen from the Daintree and taken to a mission. They just gave him the English name of Oliver because they didn't want to actually say, you know, they couldn't pronounce his Aboriginal or spell his Aboriginal name. So they decided to call him Oliver. So I've still got people telling me how to identify and saying, and saying, oh, that's where his name comes from. It's like, no, my name doesn't come from that. My name comes from a police officer who decided to slap that name on my great-great-grandfather. And that's why I have the surname Oliver.
So, Stephen, in the cabaret that we are going to see tomorrow night at the Opera House, and I know you've performed it elsewhere as well, are you trying to sort of uncover the multidimensionality of any person, but certainly someone within the creative arts such as yourself, who was born and raised in Cloncurry, went to Townsville, ended up in Perth, and now lives in Brisbane? And, you know, in that long journey I've just summarised very quickly in one sentence, there's a multidimensionality of person there that I take it you're going to release via story and song in the cabaret.
Well, I try to. I mean, I kind of squeeze everything, you know, from out of practice tap dancing to bad guitar playing. I squeeze in there. But, you know, but the thing is too, and that's what I've always found with, you know, I often find that when people talk about brand or what's your brand or you gotta be there, and I've always found that a disservice to us as human beings, because human beings, we aren't one thing. We aren't, you know, we might be known for one thing, but that doesn't mean we are one thing. We are so, you know, multifaceted. You know, we are so complex. You know, the dichotomy of being human. We try to simplify it. And I find we do that with anything in the way, you know, we have this kind of thinking of where we go, we have to label things and we have to put it in, give it a name so we understand it. And, like, you know, sexuality is the perfect thing where we go, oh, you're gay, I can understand you. Oh, if I call you bi, I can understand you. If I call you straight, I can understand you. Oh, wait up, you're a straight guy, you slept with a gay guy. Oh, wait, no, what is that? I'm confused. What does that mean? So we you know, we try to do this kind of thing of where we label people all the time. Yeah. And we want people to be this one thing so we can simplify it for us to understand. And it's like, but we're not simple. And why do we do that thing of trying to, you know, it's almost like trying to dumb ourselves down in a way to understanding each other and understanding the complexity of being human, you know, and whether that has to do with race or culture or sexuality or whatever. And it's like, you know, I don't understand why we do that to ourselves. So it's kind of, you know, and that's why, you know, even the joke of being a black of all trades, but it's also kind of making a statement of going, like, I don't want to be labeled just as one thing. I don't want to be seen as just one thing and then people thinking that's all I had to offer the world. When it's like, well, no, I had a lot more I wanted to give. And I've been fortunate that people have embraced that.
And they can have another chance to see you in all your multifaceted glory on stage at the Opera House. I maybe as a way to finish off and as a way of sort of flagging some of the other content in your cabaret called Bigger and Blacker, do you have another little excerpt of song you'd like to sing out of rehearsal?
Another little excerpt of song? Oh, you're putting me on the spot. You know what? Do you want me to give it a try? I'll give it a try.
Go on then.
So this song I wrote, it's about a lot of things. It's about materialism. It's about chasing emptiness. It's about what we just really need in life.
Here's Stephen, Stephen Oliver.
I don't need someone to get me a present. I don't need to get a flashy new gift. I don't need inspirational quotes if you're thinking I need to get my spirit to lift. They get me tickets to some far destination. Though I get, I need to get a getaway. The only thing to get that really does matter is getting me and all the silly things that I say. Just get me. Just get me. Don't let me. Think I'm not good enough to be understood. Do you get me? Just get me. Don't let me. Think I'll never find the kind of heart that could. Is that good enough?
It's always good enough. Stephen Oliver, it's been an absolute delight to hear you taking risks with us as you do every night on stage and in your written word and in your performances and in your comedy and in your poetry. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Life Matters. All the best with tomorrow night at the Opera House.
Thank you very much. Are you getting along to see it? Are you in Sydney?
No, I'm in my bedroom in Melbourne.
Oh, well, we're in talks with Melbourne, so hopefully we'll get down there and you'll get to see it down there one night.
Oh, that'd be great. Stephen, thanks so much.
No worries, Eddie. Bye-bye.
This is Radio National.